Where does your joy come from? They say we're in one of the most joyful times of the year, but maybe it's also one of the most conflicted times of the year when it comes to answering this question. Where does your joy come from? That gift Audrey's hoping for? The fact that I have enough money to buy a few gifts for people? Maybe my family that's going to gather around me. Maybe the beauty of Christmas Eve worship. Where does my joy come from? My work? My car? My home? My money? Where does it come from? Are you conflicted? So if joy can be defined as this deep sense of happiness or satisfaction, I wonder, to phrase it differently, what brings our lives satisfaction? Well, Irish contemporary theologian Peter Rollins tells this story about satisfaction. There was once a very rich Texan, my apologies to any Texans out there, who started to look into his ancestral roots. And after a little research, he discovered that his great-grandfather left Ireland to settle in America, and that there was still a relative of his named Seamus who still lived on a small farm in Galway. So the next day, our Texan friend flew out to visit Seamus and reconnect with his roots. When he finally found the farm in the Irish countryside, he knocked on the door and introduced himself. Seamus said to the guest, "Well, would you like to see the property?" I won't try an Irish accent. I don't think I'm any good. The Texan said, "Why, yes." So Seamus took the large Texan round to the back of the house and pointed at a tree that stood just 50 feet away. And he said, "See that tree? That marks the northern boundary of my land." And he pointed to an old rusty tractor and said, "That tractor marks the western border of my land." I'd like that be that way, right? And over in the east, he pointed at an old broken fence and said, "That marks the eastern border of my property." "Well," said the Texan with a patronizing smile, "back home, if I got into my car and drove all day north, I still wouldn't reach the border of my land. Indeed, if I drove all day east or west, I wouldn't get to the border of my property." "Yeah," said Seamus while nodding, "I know how you feel. I used to have a car like that." I think we all fall into this trap of thinking that our joy comes out of what we own, right? What we control. For this larger-than-life Texan, it was his property, especially compared to this modest farmer in Ireland, this distant relative. But the huge problem with this rationale is that it means that a person who doesn't have things or is going through an especially difficult or troubling time in their life, well, that person can't have joy. And that's an even bigger delusion than thinking our joy comes from what we own. I've got these words from an old gospel song rolling around in my head. Maybe you know it. After all, after everything I've seen, thank God I still have joy. Through the storm and the rain, through heartaches, yes, and pain, thank God I still have joy. See, this is the bigger truth about the gospel and joy, that no matter what the world tosses at you, you can still have it. Consider Mary. A couple weeks ago, I spoke about Mary and how incredibly faithful she must have been as she answered the call of God, and it was her obedience to God that made her so special, her humility towards God that raises her from ordinary to extraordinary. But after she answered the call of God, did she experience fear? Was she anxious? Remember the danger that Pastor Audrey talked about just last week that caused Joseph to want to divorce her quietly make this a little easier on the pregnant, unwed Mary. Well, in the scripture this morning, Mary rushes off to go see her cousin Elizabeth with haste, the scripture says. Why does she rush to see Elizabeth? Well, Adam Hamilton, the author of The Journey that we're following along with this season, wonders if she even told her parents about the pregnancy before she gets out of town to go see Elizabeth. Does she realize the predicament she is in and run for safety? Does she need that bit of proof of Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy in order to know for sure of her own? Scripture doesn't answer those questions for us, but I can imagine that when Mary arrives in Ein Kerem, the traditional home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, that she is overwhelmed and extremely anxious. So amidst that puzzlement and that uncertainty in Mary's life, she finds this warm greeting from her cousin Elizabeth, recorded in Luke 1, 42 to 45. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by her Lord." Those are Elizabeth's words, counseled back to joy. Counseled to joy. Elizabeth is able to articulate so clearly through the panic in Mary's circumstances that this pregnancy is a blessing and is a cause of great joy, as the baby John shows and is leaping. And after all the things she's been through, even all the things she will go through, she can still have joy because the Lord has done great things, even in her. The root of our joy, what God has done, is doing, and will do. So I ask, who do you have in your life that counsels you back to joy? When life is overwhelming you, when nothing seems like it's working out, when panic begins to set in, when listening to God is kind of more of a chore, when the calling on your life maybe is most dim, who is your Elizabeth that counsel you back to joy? Who says words like, "You are blessed even if you can't see it"? Who grounds you back into God's rich soil after pulling you out of that mucky dirt that the world might heap on you? We need these people like Elizabeth in our lives that will rejoice with us, for us, even when we're too afraid of where God's journey might take us. We also all need to be an Elizabeth to someone, to one another, when the road gets bumpy. Just because it's bumpy doesn't mean the joy of the Lord is gone. In fact, the joy of the Lord transcends those bumps. I think this is what William Barclay refers to as the paradox of blessedness. He says, "The piercing truth is that God does not choose a person for ease and comfort and selfish joy, but for a task that will take all that head and heart and hand can bring to it." Let me say that in another way. We expect the blessed path to be the easy one, when in fact, God's calls aren't ones that make us more comfortable at all. The blessed path is often tough, requiring our hard work, our thoughtfulness, our prayerfulness. Even in a dangerous, most difficult task like raising God incarnate, joy is rooted in the fact that we are called by God, blessed by God to participate in this. through the pain, through disappointment, through struggle, through challenges, losses of this world, none of that will change the root of that joy. Now, I know for many of you this past year, maybe even the past few weeks, haven't been easy. They haven't been always comfortable. And so I ask that you not let your joy depend on those temporal things. Rather, let the call of God be the root of your joy, and let us go into Christmas this year counseled towards that joy, seeking God's call for a journey that will not guarantee our comfort or ease, but nevertheless will yield an incomparable joy. Amen.